Welcome to the Wealth Building Made Simple podcast with Philip Washington Jr. Today's episode is brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com. Today, Philip talks about Bitcoin mining 101. Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. And now, here's Philip.
We are back with another episode of Wealth Building Made Simple, brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com, and where we help clients guide their money from here to the future with the goal of protecting it from confiscatory inflation. I remember I read that like in some marketing brochure of an insurance company I was selling insurance for way back, and I was like, what is confiscatory? Had to look it up. It's also brought to you by WealthBuildingMadeSimple.us, my newsletter, where I share my insights weekly about what's going on in the world and how to think about, or how I think about, wealth building. Today, we are getting deep in the weeds around Bitcoin mining. I had somebody talk to me about people are always asking me about like different cryptos that I listen to. And the cool part about the crypto world is there's lots of different opinions, lots of different very intelligent people, lots of different options. And so I enjoyed the conversation. But a guy was like, hey, any other cryptos that you're looking at that you're invested in? And I was like, one of the people I read a lot is, or I read a lot and still read a lot, is Warren Buffett, right? We might disagree on the details of whether Bitcoin is a good investment or not, right? Which is understandable because he's like 90 years old. I was like, but the principles that he used to invest money, I feel like are at a principle level, super, super valuable, because principles, right, don't change. And even when somebody knows a principle, they may not always apply them into every domain. But the principle that he is, that I love about what he says about investing, is like he only invests in things that feel like a 1-foot hurdle. So things that feel like it's easy and obvious. And so I feel like in the crypto space, there's lots of different applications for crypto that are coming about, and different people will feel like it's a 1-foot hurdle based on their background. But for me, like one of the things that I studied a lot, being a finance major, being a history lover, reading about money and economies for fun for a long time, is I really understand like the foundation of a financial system, right? And the evolution of it. And I'm not talking about like the actual money that you use to trade around for buying things, right? That could be anything, but I'm talking about like collateral, right? In order for a financial system to have trustless commerce, which is what an economy needs to trade, you have to have a currency that is a solid foundation, right? It's, you know, gold was used for so long because it was Mother Nature's, ledger, meaning like money is just a ledger of who owns what. But the production of gold could not be manipulated too much, because in order to pull gold out of the ground, it required lots of energy, right? So like the system for printing money or making the foundation of an economy that was built on top of gold as a trustless collateral for doing commerce, it was constrained by energy, right? By the ability to pull it from the ground. And so it had constraints. It had a solid foundation, right? Versus recently when we came up with the gold standard in 71, and you have money built on what I would call sand, right? Sand meaning they can print it whenever they want to, right? There's an old Bible verse that says a rich man builds his house on the rock, poor man builds his house on sand, right? And so we are looking at a world where people are wondering why there's such big wealth gaps around the world. They are looking to politicians to fix it, and there's all this dissent and fighting. And I'm going, no, like, it's just the money. Like, when you have a financial system built on the whims of super smart nerds in the middle, who can? I heard Michael Saylor say, he's a super smart guy, runs a very good company. He was like, man, imagine if God, like, just changed the speed of light because he thought it would be better for everybody else. Like, that would throw off the balance of everything, right? So, good thing about the universe is it runs the way it runs, and the principles don't change, right? We haven't gotten smart enough to, like, manipulate those principles. But when man does try to get into and recreate or try to do the work of Mother Nature and, like, you know, like, changes some rules, right, it makes the system less solid, right? So I'm saying that to say, Bitcoin for me is an obvious area to focus and build on, because it's going to fundamentally build a new foundation for the global financial system that, even though the older generation may not agree, the younger generation who's making a lot of money does, right? And that, and anytime you get, like, any new innovation that happens, whether it be automobiles or medical, right, the establishment always can't see it because, right, there's momentum in their thought. And so all new thought is brought by newer generations. So this is where we are. Here's my point. The other big opportunity that so I'm focused on Bitcoin, right? And so I own Bitcoin because it's the foundation. But there's other, like, applications that Bitcoin is going to solve problems for, and that I can also invest around. And one of those is Bitcoin mining, right? Another book that I love that I read was it was called Titan. It was written by John D. Rockefeller. And so in the early years of switching from whale oil to light homes with kerosene, we began to use, like, fossil fuels. And so Standard Oil, or John D. Rockefeller, built an amazing refining system for doing that, for powering, for gasoline, for cars, electricity, you know, using for electricity, lighting homes, all that kind of stuff. And so during that time, you could have bought the commodity of oil, right? And that would have made lots of money in some periods of time. And you also could have, like, owned refineries and companies that produced it. And, right, John D. Rockefeller became the first billionaire by owning the refineries of the commodity. And so Bitcoin mining is another, in my mind, one of those Standard Oil opportunities where, like, I own the commodity of Bitcoin, right, the foundational money. And so that's cool. And that's going to, for my opinion, do well over time, right? There's a lot of Saudi Arabian wealth built from owning lots of oil reserves, right? Texas economy is built from owning lots of oil reserves. Russia's entire economy had lots of oil reserves, but refining is a whole other aspect of it. And so the problem that Bitcoin miners are solving for, going back to balance, is helping stabilize the grids all over the world, right? Helping to balance supply and demand through growth. So if you need to grow an area, if you want to grow a society, you got the foundation of you need money for trading, but almost equally as important is you need energy, right? Because energy is what's needed to, like, there's everything that we need needs to be powered by energy. And as humans, we're always getting more efficient at using energy. And so you fast forward to today and you look at a place like, for example, I'll use Texas because Texas is a home that is like, or a place that has like something like 40% of our energy is like renewables. People don't know that. I learned that recently, but 40% is renewables. But the thing with energy is, a lot of energy is lost in like transmission, right? So if you want to take energy from here to there, there's a lot of leakage that happens, right? In renewables, the biggest challenge is like storage capacity, right? So like if you wanted to build a solar panel area that generated lots of energy, we got plenty of sun, right, in Texas, plenty of sun. The problem is like, how do we store the energy when the sun is not up? Because there's only a limited amount of time that energy can be stored. And in order to increase the battery technology that will allow it to be stored more, we need to, you know, we need to invest more in the technology. Meaning like, it's, you're sort of like in a trap situation where you're like, wait a minute. So we need, the problem is we need better storage, but in order to get better storage, you need to have more solar panel generators. Now, how do we get from here to there? Well, Bitcoin miners is a big one because you can just plug up a Bitcoin miner next to a renewable energy source and they could buy up all the energy that they need. Right. And that gives the energy production company the money needed to continue to invest in better and better battery technology. Right. And so it builds out over time. It's very similar to what Tesla did. Right. When Tesla first started building EVs, the battery storage was like not great at all. Right. You know, we had just got to a point to where we can have enough battery juice on like an iPhone to have it go for like half a day. And it's come a lot since then. But the catalyst for battery storage increasing on cars was Tesla, right? Selling more cars, right? And the more cars that were sold, the more investments they made, which increased the supply of battery storage, right? So now same thing here, but the gap can be filled by investors who say, hey, I have all this money and I want to make a return on my money. And so when they hand it to a Bitcoin miner really is just an asset manager, right? They're like, hey, listen, we're going to hold your money and we're going to turn it into money by mining Bitcoin. And so they can, so you look at all the renewable energy places around the world with tons of solar, tons of water, right? Tons of wind, right? And you got the leakage from the existing systems where they could turn methane gas into energy and like save the planet. There's all kind of ways that we can plug gaps in the existing energy sources as well and turn that unused energy into Bitcoin mining. And there's an abundance of energy, right? So there's no shortage of energy, and there's tons of money out there that wants to make money. And then you have at the same time Bitcoin being the financial foundation for a globally digitally connected ecosystem, right? And so then when all those three click for you, you go, oh, wait a minute, like I want to own miners, right? Because miners, when you look at any society or any good economy, new economies are birthed out of more energy efficient areas, right? So you got you plug that in with housing affordability, right? Inflation driving up the cost of everything. And you get all these areas that pop up that bring down the cost of energy, right? And so like you have Bitcoin miners saving the day for most people, and you got a almost unlimited appetite of investors who will provide Bitcoin miners with capital to do that. Because here's a competitive edge for a Bitcoin miner, right? Because now you understand opportunity. For a Bitcoin miner. Now you want to understand a competitive edge, because this is what I look at to know which Bitcoin miners that I want to look at. And I'll get into how they make money. But the competitive edge is capacity, access to capital, and access to equipment, right? So capacity is like, in simple terms, like think of it like data centers, right? Data centers are where they store the equipment and they have all these processes to improve the hash rate or like the computing power, right? And they also in those data centers are doing their best to locate them where energy is very efficient, right? So think of capacity as like operational capacity, right? Around buying, owning, and operating data centers. Then access to capital, which there's lots of it, right? But you want to make sure they're managing it properly. And then access to equipment, right? And there's like only a few manufacturers of mining rigs or ASICs, which is what most of them use right now. But those are the components. And so when I'm looking through the industry at Bitcoin miners, I'm sorting through, right, who has the best relationships with mining rigs, right? What's the balance sheet of the Bitcoin miners? How are they? How does Wall Street take them? What funds own them? Right. Listen to the CEO. How do they speak? Do they understand money? And then look at the ones that are opportunistically buying out capacity. Which the companies? One of the companies that I own is really great at that. Maybe I'll tell you. Maybe I won't. I've said it on previous podcasts, but. But those are really when you look at a Bitcoin miner, those are the three areas where you're going to look at the ones that have a competitive advantage, which is very similar when you look at John D. Rockefeller and how he built Standard Oil, right? He had a great operational process for building capacity for refining oil. He would buy out all the folks that were misusing money, right? He had banks were lining up to give him money, so he had access to capital, right? And he got good deals on equipment, to do the refining and everything. And it was sort of all integrated, right? But how do Bitcoin miners like make money? Because that's going to be important to understand too. They make money. One source is like mining new Bitcoin. So they use all this computational power, which gives them, think of it like oil company drills for oil, right? When they drill for Bitcoin because they own great oil wells in different areas and they have great equipment and great processes, right? The ones with the most money, best capacity, the rigs they need, they are going to have a competitive edge at mining new Bitcoin, which they could keep or sell in the open market for cash. And they manage that based on lots of different factors. But then there's transaction fees for the network. So every time when there's a transaction that needs to be added to the blockchain, the miners are the ones that run the computational power to approve the transaction. And those fees get bigger and bigger the more usage on a network, which the usage on a network is going to get bigger and bigger. Think of the network like a city, right? The bigger the city gets, the more resources they're going to need. And the miners are the ones that are the one we pay the tax to for putting those things in place, putting those blocks or transactions in place, right? And so, again, that's why those three competitive advantages are really important to understand, because you have lots of capacity, access to capital, the rigs you need, then it makes mining new Bitcoin and getting new transaction fees more likely. Looking at parallels, and I'm going to probably have to do a whole new episode to go deeper, because there's different ways you can set up a miner, but vertical integration, I look for the companies that are vertically integrating and are best positioned to vertically integrate as well, because that's a similar thing that Standard Oil did as well, right? Marathon Oil is one of the companies that I own. I'm not making it a recommendation, but I'm giving it to you as an example so you can look at it as an example. I also own Riot Platforms as well. I own both of those. Again, not a recommendation, just give you an idea. But when you look at how Marathon runs their company, they have a phenomenal balance sheet. They are slowly vertically integrating. They have a good understanding and relationship with Wall Street. They're in major funds. They have made investments in equipment manufacturers and helped design new, more energy efficient mining rigs. But when we listen to the CEO speak, he has, from my perspective, like one of the best understandings of the industry and how it works. And so as an investor, right, there's lots of data you want to sift through to understand the technology, to understand the industry, to understand what's going on. But one of the underappreciated things that I think a lot of people may not do is listen to the CEO talk. because a CEO, giving your money to a company is more giving your money to the CEO than anything, right? Because the CEO is going to be the steward, right? The money manager. He's, you know, the team leader of who you're giving your money to, and listening to their understanding of business and the industry gives me a lot more information than a lot of the other stuff that I listed, because it's one of the things where if you're not a good asset allocator or if you're not good with managing money, then you don't know if the person talking is good or not, right? But if you're a good money manager and you understand it internally, then like real recognize real, right? You know, and so when you, I like to listen to them talk and go, okay, this person is, they understand it. They don't do a lot of fluff. They build in conservatism, right? But they also are aggressively moving forward. They got the proper balance that you need from a good money manager, right? And that was one of the most impressive things to me about Marathon CEO. But I think it's an industry that a lot of people, if you want to look for other ways to profit from the crypto space in a way that is solving a problem that is big, it's a good way to look. You just make sure, you know, I have a deep understanding of like energy markets and money. And so this for me is just supernatural, but like look for your 1 foot hurdles. But this is why, big reason why I feel like it's going to be, I don't have any regrets about not investing outside of Bitcoin currently, because there's so much opportunity that is just easy within Bitcoin because of the big major problems it's solving for society here and around the world. So hope this helps. Until next week, you enjoy yourself.
Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.